Hey out there, welcome to Teachers Talking Tech. I am Eric Robinson.
I'm Mike Brown.
And today we are going to be talking about a hot topic. We're going to be talking about Genius Hour, which I know Genius Hour has a couple names. Isn't there like Learn 20? What's the other?
20 Time.
Oh, 20 Time.
20 Time, which is like kind of alludes to 20% of your classroom time spent on Genius Hour time or whatever. Project-based learning. Stuff like that.
Yeah. And you know, we went to a conference here in Michigan called McCall. And McCall is just a huge conference. More than 5,000 people there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just all about technology. But not just technology. It's about changing the way that you teach and how you run your classroom and using technology to really enhance your kids' experience.
Right.
And I know there are a lot of sessions on this topic. So, and really, I will default a lot here to our resident expert here, Mike Brown, and Mike never wants to be the expert on this because he just has been doing it for a year. But really, there's not many teachers who've been doing this idea for much longer than that, right? It's kind of like a young
right
idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's been pretty popular the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
People are hearing about it. They're trying it out. They're kind of finding their way, and that's really how my experience has been this year. I didn't really do a ton of research into it, other than kind of getting the basics. I didn't want it to be too structured in my classroom yet because I wanted to kind of find out what worked well for me and my students, and that's how we did it. And some things worked and some things didn't, and I'd be happy to share some of that.
Yeah, so tell us, what is the outcome, or what do you want starting there? What do you want from your kids in Genius Hour? Like, what are they trying to do?
Well, the idea is that I want the kids to kind of come up with something that they're, first of all, you have to be interested in it. You can't be, another name for this is passion projects, and you can't be passionate about something. If you're not passionate about something, then you're not going to be interested in spending this time on it and really do a good job. So I wanted the kids to kind of come up with something that they're interested in, that they're passionate about, something, and a Genius Hour project has to have two things. It's got to have something that you either want to share with somebody or teach somebody about, or something that you want to learn yourself. So maybe it's, I want to learn how to play guitar. I'm passionate about learning how to play guitar. I'm going to do research and find out how to play the guitar. Or, hey, I want to teach people about something that's very strong, that I have a very strong feeling about. And so I'm going to research and come up with a way to share that out and teach other people about that.
So it sounds like there's a lot of forethought before the kids get going. You got to really slow them down, make them think about something that they're passionate about so they don't lose steam, you know, after thinking about it for 1 week already, like, oh, I don't want to do this.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I realized early on and I got reaffirmed from doing a little bit of research and talking to people that are doing Genius Hour is that it's okay for the kids to fail.
Mm-hmm.
These projects may not be successful. These projects may not come out the way the child envisioned it when they first started coming up with it. And it's okay to tweak it and to change it and for it to morph as they're working on the project.
Yeah, I think that's that whole idea of like the science fair model, which is like do with your parents until it's picture perfect, and
right,
you have a diorama, then you bring it in, everything is perfect, and there's nobody feels bad. Yeah, and I think that Genius Hour is kind of the opposite of that. It's just you're trying to have your kids learn through failures, learn through what works on their own, where you're there really just a scaffold. You're just there to lend a helping hand, to help them research,
mm-hmm,
but you're not there to pretty it up.
Exactly. The first few Genius Hour projects that I helped my students complete or supported them on, you could tell that I had my hand on it. And I learned early on that, you know, it looks nice and they did a great job. And the majority of the work was theirs, but it still was, it was too polished. It was too, mm-hmm, nice at the very end.
Yeah.
It had too much of my control in it. So I had to learn to let go and to let them do it the way they wanted to and to have it not be perfect. And that was part of my learning curve in the Genius Hour process too.
All right, are there any like tips you give people who would like to start doing this of how do you organize? I think that's what everybody kind of has the most problem with is like, how do I organize Genius Hour to make it so I don't go crazy?
Okay, yeah, that's a great question. And you know, I when I first started it, I didn't have an organization. I discovered something later on that really has helped me that I'm going to share with you right now, but I didn't have it at first. So it was really let's go for it, and I didn't give my students a ton of great guidance to get started. And we started rough. It was a struggle. The kids had a hard time coming up with good ideas and what they wanted to work on. So in doing a little bit more research, I came across this website called teachthought.com, I think it is. teachthought.com, and he's got a ton of, this website has a ton of great resources on all things tech and education, by the way. But one of the things he had on his website was what he called the 6 Principles of Genius Hour. And I've really kind of adopted this for my classroom and shared it out with people that are interested in doing some Genius Hour stuff. So the first principle is called a sense of purpose. And we already talked about that. The kids really have to have an idea on what they what the purpose of their project is. Are they going to teach somebody something or share information with somebody, or they want to learn something themselves? So they have to have an idea on what the purpose is. Then they have to come up with a design. How are they going to design what their project is going to look like. So they have to have an idea on what their finished product is going to kind of be like. Then it's time to do some inquiry. So they're going to have to do some research. These projects should be something that they have some sense of knowledge on, but also that they need to research and learn more about so they can share that information. Then they're going to get into, once they've gathered all their information, they're actually going to be creating their project. And that's where the students really spend the bulk of their time. And that's where the technology really supports it. I've got students that are making iMovies, they're making slideshows, they're making videos, they're making all kinds of stuff and to share out and the information that they've researched.
Well, and that's an important point, too, is that not all of these use technology. I mean, I know you've had kids making board games and things like that, and I think that the technology, at the very minimum, should be to share their ideas. Once they're done with it, technology is a great way to share, but they don't have to include technology.
No, absolutely not. So, and I had a group of girls that did a board game, and their purpose was to make a board game for their kindergarten friends. And so the technology piece wasn't really there, but I wanted them to be able to share, and that's that next piece is called socialization. So that socialization piece simply means that they've created this wonderful product, they've connected with their teachers, they've talked to experts, and now they're going to share it out. And that could be shared out through social media, through email, whatever venue you want to use, but those students need to be able to share what they've learned, give them that authentic audience for what they've created. And the final piece of this is what we call the 80-20 rule. And that's kind of where that 20% time comes from. You need to have a set designated time for Genius Hour in your classroom, and it's got to be on a regular basis. The kids need to be able to depend on that and to know that's coming up. Otherwise, one thing, they're going to be asking you to do it all the time. And, you know, that's just not going to work. You've got other things you need to get to. But when the kids know that Friday afternoon, in my case it's Friday afternoon, is Genius Hour time, and I'm expected to get some stuff done during that time, that holds them accountable as well. So it's not just sprung on them, hey, it's Genius Hour time. Well, I haven't done my research yet. You know, they need to be held accountable and know that that time is coming up for them.
All right, so what's one or two things that you learned from doing this year that you could share that would help out a teacher who's like, yeah, I want to do this, but I'm a little nervous about jumping in? You know, what are just some quick tips, you know, management-wise that would just help out?
Well, I think the biggest thing management-wise that I did, which was so simple, and I think, duh, why didn't I think of this on day one? But when I first started it and the kids were kind of getting involved and they needed some support in lots of different areas, they were constantly coming up to me. I look around the room, I'd have 12 kids with their hands raised, and it's like, I can't get to you all at once, and I was missing kids. I simply put a help me sign up on the board. And so the kids go up, they write their name down, they go back to the seat. They've got a few other things they could be working on while they're waiting patiently for me to come around. I look up at the board, see who needs help, and I go help that person. That helps me keep organized, make sure I'm helping the students that need help in the correct order and people aren't getting missed. And that was a huge help for me to help my students out.
Okay, cool. And, you know, I think one other thing I can say just as an observer of this is Mike had a student that didn't do anything for, you know, 5 months.
Right,
just sat there. He did other things. You know, he was writing or reading or that kind of thing, but he just didn't have an idea, wasn't interested. Finally came up with this idea of doing a, you know, kind of a PSA, right, about dogs.
Yeah.
And so Mike and I worked with him at the end just to kind of give him a little guidance on how to make his PSA. And, you know, and it turned out really great. It was just kind of
very cool.
It was waiting him out. Waiting him out was the thing that helped him. Where I think that if you try to force your hand or try to force a child into making something when they're not ready or they're not interested, you're going to be fighting a losing battle.
Yeah, it's that whole thing that if they're not passionate about it, if they're not interested in it, they don't want to do it. if they are forced to do it, it's not going to be very good. It's not going to be quality. They're not going to get anything out of it.
Right.
Whereas if it's something that they have control of, they're driving their own learning and their education there, then it can be huge. It can, and it went farther than I even thought it was going to with this student.
Yeah, and you know, and it's like a lot of things, if you just let a child sit there and watch the other kids around them do these, then sooner or later they're going to be like, okay, I'm bored. I'd want to do something.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. And then they'll want to do it. So, well, anyway, I think we can put some of Mike's kids' projects up on our website so you can check out at least the video ones. And I know Mike does a lot of presentations on this, so hopefully you can make it to one. If you have questions about Genius Hour or you want to hear us do a topic for you, then you can go to our website at bit.do/teachertech. All right. Well, I'm Eric Robinson along with Mike Brown, and it was great talking at you. Hopefully hear from you soon.